Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
To bring a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our last radio show to be aired live on WCAP Radio here in Lowell. Our 263rd Beneath the Surface radio broadcast at WCAP. What are you saying?
I
can't hear me either.
Okay, what if you... What if you turn your mic so it's like directly pointing at you?
Okay. It's not on.
All right.
And Cindy doesn't know what the problem is either.
All right, here, talk into my mic.
Well, it doesn't. Test 1, 2, 3. What?
You didn't turn off your mic.
No, I haven't touched. Testing 1, 2.
Now you're on my mic.
Testing 1. Oh, yours is much better.
Joe Perry and Steve
Testing
Tyler.
One.
Oh, testing God. Number 3. There we go.
See,
don't stop believing.
Cindy, see the difference between this and this?
This is live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
See, this is what I've been hearing for the past 3 weeks.
It is
pretty
so
much.
Fantastico.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
It is like the behind the scenes with Star Wars.
Why don't you work on this one here, and why don't you try it? In the meantime, they're all so much better. Oh, yeah.
I can hear you, Paul.
I tell you what, I'm not going to miss these technical problems. But anyway, glad you could join us, everybody. Sorry for that technical glitch. Beneath the Surface, where faith and reason meet every Monday night between 10 and 11 p.m., bringing, at least attempting, to bring a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. And as I was trying to say in the microphone that wasn't working, this is our last Beneath the Surface radio broadcast from the WCAP studios, which it began in February of 2013, which means it's, 6 years? 6.5 years of going on 7 years of Beneath the Surface radio on this radio station. And before that, Beneath the Surface television all the way from 2003 to around 2013. Want to thank Sam Poulton and everybody who... was involved, including Cindy, our producer, in helping this get off the ground and get on the air every Monday night. Actually, it began on Sunday nights, and now it's for the past 4 years, perhaps, it was on Monday nights from 10 to 11. But do not fret, Beneath the Surface.
We realized that the Sunday night show was just a profanation of the Lord's Day, so we...
Is that what happened?
I think that was the logic behind it, yeah. I don't remember exactly, but it was something to that effect.
Okay.
We're not fretting.
I haven't even introduced you guys yet. But anyway, don't fret, Beneath the Surface fans, because we are going to continue the Beneath the Surface video casts on the BTS, on the Beneath the Surface with Paul Morano YouTube page, so keep your eye open for that. As well as Beneath the Surface audio podcast will continue to go through Breadbox Media. That's Breadbox Media, along with Podbeam, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
I think you should find some low-carb outlets for the show, as opposed to the Apple and Breadbox.
All of which... Place.
Maybe some grass-fed
all of
beef.
Which, all of these things, video cast and audio cast, just ignore them. I'll introduce those folks in a second. All the video casts and audio casts from this point onwards will continue to go through my personal website to make it nice and easy. Just if you want to see or hear Beneath the Surface, go to paulmorano.com. Paulmorano.com. Okay. Got all of that business out of the way. It's been fun. And throughout most of our Beneath the Surface radio shows here at WCAP, I have had three guests, usually rotating.
I'm rotating.
Yep, there you go.
I'm getting dizzy.
They're rotating now. Radio fans can't see that. But from my left to your right, here they are, at least for the last time at the WCAP radio station, radio Ooh. Studio, but we'll continue through podcasts galore. Mr. Kent Niebuhr.
Am I on your left? Oh, yeah, I'm on your left. Yep, I am the lefty Kent Niebuhr.
Okay, being Kent is like? One sentence.
Exhausting.
Okay, one word.
That was one word. That was I was getting a sentence.
That was a one-word sentence.
A word.
A one-word sentence. Yeah. Mr. John Tutoris.
Ogly doggly. Hey, how you doing?
Good, very good. Are you an Italian mafioso or something tonight?
Well, I don't know.
No, I guess not.
What are you doing, neighborino?
Okay. John Tutoris, a man of 1,000 voices.
None of them very good. Got to keep practicing. Good, yeah.
President Bush, didn't you die about a year ago or six months ago?
You ever notice that the Dana Carvey Bush sounds a little bit like Ned Flanders?
No, I haven't noticed that.
I noticed that just now.
Yeah.
Ned
Flanders. Kind of like how a Jimmy Stewart can meld into a Don Knotts and then back again.
And to your left, to my right, there he is. Ladies and gentle things, the man, the myth, and the legend, Mr. Bob LeBlanc.
Yay!
Hi, Paul.
Bob, being you, is akin to what?
It's akin to a journey toward heaven.
Yeah, I like that. And I hope you're right. 9784.
I hope so too, Paul. I really do.
For all of us, by the way. Including our listeners. 978-454-4980 is our phone number. That's 978-454-4980. We're up and running. Instead of four mics, we have three mics. So it looks like Kent and John are going to be sharing a mic. You guys don't mind sharing, do you?
Is that going to be confusing for the listeners?
Yeah, I'm confused right now.
You guys kind of look like, do you remember the early Beatles when Paul and George shared a microphone when they sang, like, She Loves You on Ed Sullivan's Show? You remember that?
I was thinking more like Steve Tyler and Joe Perry.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, if you want to get involved in our talk tonight with all of our guests here tonight, as well as me, your humble host, Paul Morano, 978-454-4980. That's 978-454-4980. Or take our poll question at facebook.com/fellowtruthseekers. Our poll question at facebook.com/fellowtruthseekers, all one word. Gentlemen.
I want to go to Facebook and find out what the poll question is.
It's a very easy question, but I don't want to tell anyone because that'll keep them from going.
We need to drive the traffic to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Will we get prizes?
We should get a prize. How about a date with John Tutoris? You're single.
Yeah.
All right.
I think I'm the youngest single.
Yeah, you're the youngest. You're a good-looking guy, you know.
Yeah, that's what my mom says.
Yeah, you've got a lot of wisdom. You've got a, you know, you have a head on your shoulders.
I live in the basement. I have comic books. I have a lot of them.
And he's not kidding either.
I have a bald man and I got a ponytail. Yeah.
Well, I don't see any ponytail, but it might be imaginary.
I used to have a ponytail.
You do have an imaginary friend, don't you, John?
The BMPT bald man ponytail?
Yeah.
Totally fashionable.
Yeah. Well, you should just hook it on to the back, you know? To be hip.
Yes, an attachment.
You should get a weave, John.
Anyway.
Ooh, a weave.
Anyway, just to finish this thought, whoever gets the best answer to the poll question on facebook.com/fellowtruthseekers has a free date with Mr. John Tutoris.
The catch and I'm telling you. Pay.
A free date that you have to pay, but I tell you, it'll be worth it. Right, John?
Yeah, I
you don't need
so.
All that much. You just, what, a $50, $100 meal?
Yeah, we can go to the Nordic Lodge in Rhode Island. It's like an all-you-can-eat. It's like $125 bucks. You can get prime rib and lobster.
All right. So
where is that?
Woohoo!
Nordic Lodge. It's in the southern part of Rhode Island.
Let me ask.
I didn't realize the southern part of Rhode Island was Nordic.
Before we continue, before I get actually to the show's topic tonight, let
will
me just...
Will we get to the
we
topic?
Will. I promise you we'll get to the topic within a moment. Let me just ask you three. What did you seriously, what have you gotten out of or how have you enjoyed being a regular guest on Beneath the Surface these past 6 years? Six and a half.
It's kept me from spiraling downwards into sort of just a chasm of life without philosophy.
That can be very dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
And depressing.
We've seen it happen around us.
Yeah.
So, you know, once a month or so, there would be this safety
yes.
net to grab me and snatch me from the
yeah.
gaping maw of the...
Of the workaday world.
Of the abyss. Of the rat race.
Of the abyss of the non-thinking.
Of purely sensory existence.
Yes. Very good. Very good. And I think that you're saying that tongue-in-cheek, but there's some truth to that, isn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely yeah. some truth to that. I mean, you know, when you're in college and you're yeah. taking classes like this and you're reading all these books, it kind of, yeah. you know, you're sharp, right?
Right, yeah.
And then you go out and you sort of yeah. get a regular job and you start raising kids.
And you become dull.
I don't know if it's dull. You just become hyper-focused on...
Yeah. Stuff you got to do.
Yeah, non-reflective things
yeah,
for the
that's,
most part.
That, that's
right?
a shame. I'm blessed that I've never had to fall into that pit.
You've never left school.
Pretty much. But all right, anyway. Mr. John Tudorus, your thoughts.
Well, first, I'd like to commend Kent for yeah. using the words gaping maw.
Gaping maw.
Fantastic. Yes.
Yeah.
Gaping maw.
I've been saving that since 2013.
I think that's going to be the highlight of the show.
I wouldn't doubt it. But any thoughts of your own?
Well, actually, I would have to second it. I definitely think that hanging out with y'all folk here is good for the mind.
Yeah.
And actually, that's what actually, believe it or not, it left not just this show, but some of the other things that we've done outside of here.
Yeah.
I've led me to actually formal studies in philosophy.
I know.
And theology. So I can say thanks to this crowd, I now have a degree, and I'm most of the way through another one.
Yeah, you have almost two graduate degrees in philosophy and theology, and
yep.
you're getting up there, and you're about to tackle the world. As soon as you're finished, with this blind date of the person
yes,
who wins
yes,
this.
Yes, yes, and okay. make sure that you bring me to a good place.
All right.
Now, John, does formal studies, is that classes where you have to wear a tux? Is that what qualifies?
I'm telling you.
Well, it's partly casual.
Kent is really trying his hand at comedy tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's working.
Well it's because
I'm
we,
not
don't,
sure.
we don't have the drum set.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
The funniest thing I
said
was gaping maw.
Yeah, gaping maw. I like it.
Bobbert, speak to me.
I'm channeling
yeah.
John here.
Yes. What are your thoughts on doing Beneath the Surface the past 6.5 years?
Yeah. We're not done yet. That's
Fine.
My thought. We haven't finished taking care of all these mysteries. But we're finishing on a really great question here.
Yes. Okay. So speaking of that, let me introduce to you our topic of the night. Why? That's it.
Because?
One word. Three letters is the topic of our tonight. We delve beneath the surface on why.
So I was in religious ed.
Yes.
I was handling a bunch of confirmation kids.
Okay.
And we were starting off, and the question was, why am I here?
Okay.
Which was, I think, I love these little coincidences that happen. But the sadness is that, you know, I asked, have you ever really considered why you're here? And they were all honest and they said, no, never have.
How do you go through more than 5 minutes of life after you come out of the womb not considering why you're here?
I was gobsmacked. I mean, it really hit
yeah.
me. I'm going, really? You don't have any question about why you're here?
I
remember having this like when I was a teenager. I would remember going,
oh, yeah.
thinking about my own existence, and I'm going, What would it be like if I weren't here?
Wouldn't you say, Kent, that this is a problem today that most people, if not many, go through their entire lives not asking that question?
I think that definitely happens, but I think the thing with adolescence is, and not even just adolescence, because I think we tend to be living in a prolonged adolescence these days. I'm not sure some people ever leave adolescence.
Adolescence is a construct, really.
Yeah.
I mean, in pre-modern times, there really wasn't an adolescence.
There wasn't an adolescence, and you have people in their 50s and 60s who are still in adolescence.
Today.
And, right. I mean, yeah. I think you can attribute a lot of problems to that. Yeah. But the reason why I bring up adolescence is because I wonder how many kids do these questions like this, these existential questions do occur to them, but there's no context in which there's no forum in which they feel like they can air these questions. I think most of their lives is spent just being busy and being stimulated, you know, their five senses being stimulated, but not anything intellectual. And so when they look around, they don't see people asking these kinds of questions. They're not reading profound books. I mean, I think the deepest philosophy that most kids get into is just sort of good versus evil, right? They'll see an Avengers movie and they'll, you know, good guys, bad guys, and then sometimes the lines are blurred. Is this a good guy or a bad guy? But
yeah,
I don't think they really asking these, you know, the big questions.
Hmm. So, well, I'm looking back on my life as you said that, and I noticed that I really had a lot of quiet time in my adolescence and and I did read great books. I read Lord of the Rings when I was a teenager. I read Don Quixote. I read all this dystopian novels and stuff. I read
You're equating, and I know you both are doing this. You're equating reading books with asking these big questions.
Let
me tell you something. I didn't read a book my entire childhood. Through my adolescence, and I asked these big questions more than anybody else did. In fact, I felt that reading kind of stagnated or got in the way of these questions.
Well, it depends on what you read. It really does. It depends on what you read. And I read kind of trashy stuff. I read science fiction short stories that when I was really young, I really ate that stuff up. And I think some reading is really just a distraction, as Kent was describing. A lot of reading is like that. But then when you encounter good literature, things that people that will last, that will stand the test of time, that sort of stuff will get you asking these sorts of questions.
If it does stimulate the questions and there's a place where you can find answers to these questions, right? Nothing more frustrating than having the questions with having no place to go with them. Did you live through that?
I think I was fortunate in my schooling. I would have those questions, maybe not addressed directly, but at least my curiosity was not fed entirely.
Yeah.
I wasn't given any pat answer to any of this stuff. So,
you know, I think on this question of reading, I would say that kids now are reading more than ever. But the problem is it's Snapchat and Instagram. It's memes. It's basically if they're dealing with any philosophy, it's like it would have to fit on a bumper sticker. And so, or a meme, right? I mean,
it's not philosophy.
Right. Yeah. And so you're not really penetrating. You're just throwing out concepts.
Yeah.
And that's not really
philosophy. There are the most basic two questions I suppose there are is why is there anything, right? Why is there something instead of nothing? And then after you get through with that one, why is there me? You know, what is the purpose of me? Go ahead, John. And I don't mean me particularly. I mean me in general.
Now, before you get into that, I just want to add to this other precursor here and to state that the main thing that people are missing, and I agree with everything that everyone was saying here, too many distractions, nothing is really challenging on the deeper core, the big questions.
Yeah.
But ultimately what is really, really missed is sense of wonder. So that the child, the natural philosopher, who's always asking why and then how, something happens along the way that stifles it. So the lack of a fertile ground, so that's where the distractions come in. the lack of silence.
Those two
things. Taking time to actually allow people to do nothing, boredom, what people think is boredom, is actually a good thing in right context because it gives people time to actually ponder questions.
Well, the great Aristotle said that the highest form of happiness is contemplation of eternal truths.
Well, yeah, and it's the highest activity that humans can do because it most imitates the activity of God.
And humans are the image of God, so it's the highest part of the human being, and if that's not satisfied, it doesn't matter how much you satisfy the lower part of his nature, right?
Yeah.
You know, the physical, emotional, all of those things are temporary excitements or even, what do you call it, stepping stones to the highest form of happiness, which is the happiness of the mind.
Yeah, you know, one of the... And I'm sure
fulfillment of the mind.
And any one of us could probably come up with stories of our own. But, you know, one of the things I've noticed, not just for myself and others, is that when we have things that happen to us that take us out of the rhythm of day-to-day life and give us that time, at first you might think, oh, that's a terrible thing. Maybe, like, you broke an arm or something tragic happened. But the truth is, a lot of times those are opportunities for us to actually contemplate those big questions. It doesn't have to come to that. But they're often triggers. And but once you really get into it, you realize this is beautiful stuff for the intellect.
Do you guys think that schooling, and when I say that, I usually think of public schooling, stagnates and or gets in the way, acts as a barrier to serious thinking?
Absolutely. No question.
I've always
I agree completely.
I experienced that. I couldn't explain that to people as I was a kid because nobody got it.
So I remember asking this of a school teacher. He actually teaches at a private school. It's not a public school, but he has the same constraints that public school teachers have. And his answer, and I'm paraphrasing, he beats the curiosity out of the students. And the reason is that he has a lesson plan that he has to accomplish. And so really what schools are factories to produce, children with some set of knowledge or some set of skills.
Yeah, to know something about something.
Right.
In order to go out and make a living, right?
Right. Mm.
And it's a cookie cutter approach. I mean, they try to tier the children in honors and AP and college prep or whatever the tiers are called. But ultimately, even if there are subsets, each of the subsets is a cookie cutter. So you've got these tiers with hundreds of kids in them, and they're all, I hate to use the word conform because it's such an overused word, but the whole program is designed to get all of these massive children, even within a subset, to conform to the curriculum. And the beauty of, like you talked about, Aristotle and Plato, and these were very small schools.
Yes.
And they had a handful of followers, and they would sort of attract certain kinds of people. And so, It sort of naturally found the right group of students, right? And then others would do other things. And so, but what we have when we're funneling everybody, like you say, in the public school model, but like you say, Bob, even into the private schools, we're funneling them. The private schools are doing their best to emulate the public schools,
they're kind of education factories, if you will.
That's what I said.
But it's almost more like job training factories.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's kind of a lot of busy work too. And when I was a kid, you really didn't start like getting homework until maybe junior high, and then you got a little. Today, these kids are getting like 2-3 hours of homework every night.
Yeah, and
what it does is it keeps your mind occupied so that you can't think of what's really important.
There's no wonder. You can't wonder anymore.
Let me just finish my sentence, okay? That is what keeps a person from that wonder and awe, that sense of awe and curiosity that naturally springs up from their hearts. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. I lost my thought. I'm sorry.
Well, actually, I do want to add on to what Ken said is that idea of preparation for jobs doesn't end with secondary school. It goes all the way up through college and even on the graduate level.
Right.
And I remember actually coming, it's very interesting, I came to this conclusion myself in my late 20s, in part because I'd realized that the trades, a lot of their trades that a lot of people kind of poo-poo when you're in high school, you realize a lot of these guys, they're making a whole lot more, one, a whole lot more money than a lot of your office workers because people are neglecting it. And two, there's great value in that work. And that here we are, we see all these people getting these degrees for, you know, psychology, poli-sci, name a list of them, and hardly any of these people who get these degrees who rack up tons and tons of debt going into six figures use this in the real world. And you realize they're getting all this training at these overpriced trade schools for things that they never do. And why? Because it's a factory for churning out.
Well,
I mean, they're in the business of education, but they're not in the business of education. Forming people into...
Informing, but not forming.
Right, exactly. And the funny thing is, I remember coming across this somewhat famous American educator and philosopher, Mortimer Adler, who actually recognized that this stuff, it's not me finding something all of a sudden in, what, you know, the late 1900s. It's actually, this is going back to the early part of the 20th century.
Mm.
And
it's filling people with information rather than formation.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's an old saying, knowledge without wisdom is dangerous. It seems like the model that we have today in modern society is creating dangerous human beings.
Well, we do have an answer. We have Catholic schools who engage in what we would call a liberal education. And their focus is what you just said. Their focus is actually on formation. And these, actually, it's interesting.
There are not that many of them, though.
They're not that many, but they are the ones, students that come from these particular colleges that have a liberal education, kind of a great book sort of thing, or they are deeper. They tend to be the more successful students when it comes to a career. Instead of learning their job, they learn how to be human beings. They have a liberal education. They are free to be human beings.
Many jobs you can learn as you do the job.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying, you know, a brain surgeon. You just go in there and start. But there's a whole lot of jobs out
there. It does not work.
A whole lot of jobs out there where you can actually learn the job on the job training. But you're right. Being formed in these very important questions as to what it means to be a human being. Who am I? What does it mean to have a great society? What happens after death? All these need to be satisfied in order to go on to the other more practical things. Kent.
Basically, I was going to say, Bob, you're talking about the liberal arts, and really the phrase that goes along with that is the humanities. And they were called humanities because these are the studies that distinguish us from the animals. And
well, the problem with the humanities and the liberal arts, and 98% of the colleges and high schools today and universities, is that they are taught now by progressive liberals who have an absolute subtle but very observable slant on everything. So it's not really being taught as it should be taught.
It's indoctrination.
Yeah.
Rather than teaching people how to think, they're telling you what to think. They're dictating what you must think in order to be accepted, and you get ostracized if you don't.
Throughout my 4 years of undergraduate college, most of what I took a lot of these humanities and social science courses. I could tell most of it was BS. Most of it was nonsense. I couldn't and didn't buy most of it. You have to have a discerning mind in order to make it through college today.
But this is the thing. When are we taught to have discerning minds?
That is an important, extremely important question.
Especially when now, over the past, I could say 50 years, but it's intensified in more past few decades, with this whole concept of discrimination, right? Yeah. Now, I remember when I was very young, there was an ad for something about discriminating tastes.
Yes.
Was it coffee or something like that? Discriminating tastes. Yeah, in other words, that was a virtue. To be able to taste one thing and say, this is bad, taste another and say, this is good. We're supposed to discriminate between things. Now, of course, there is a corruption of that where very sensitive about these days, whereas you're basically prejudice or persecution of some kind, right? But we are supposed to make distinctions between things.
Well, I think you hit on a huge point here, and that is today with postmodernism, there really isn't an objective good or bad with anything. And there's no objective beauty or ugly anymore. You know, just look at modern art. So if you take away human nature and natural law, anything goes. And there is no compass to tell you what direction is what.
The 20th century is you know, exhibit A. When you look at what happened in the 20th century, I mean, obviously I'm thinking of things like World War II and then all the social upheaval, all the social revolution, especially the sexual revolution, where everything came down to either pleasure or expediency. What worked the fastest was good, and what felt good was good. In other words, there used to be the expression, if it feels good, do it. And I think that evolved into, if it feels good, it is good. If it feels bad, it is bad. So don't do it. So then you lose things. You talk about, I mean, we're asking the theme of the show tonight is why.
Yes.
Well, as soon as you get into if it feels good, it is good, there's no more why
anymore.
There's
no question of why.
There's no why anymore.
That one basic question that separates us from all the other animals, that question that we come out of the womb speaking as soon as we have enough intellect at 1 or 2 years old to say anything, is the question, why?
I just love those children who just learn that question, and that's the only word that they will speak for a long period of time. You go,
why?
Why? Why? And you'll explain it to them, and they just want to hear the answers to everything, you know?
Yeah. Very often it's preceded by what? Do you ever notice that?
They want to identify
what's that?
Things. Yeah.
What's that? What's that? What's that? So when they get the what, they want to know the why. And think about that for a second. I've said this in other, you know, shows, but what and why signify meaning and purpose, respectively. What is meaning? Why is purpose? We are truth-seeking animals by our nature. It's food for the soul. And if you're not getting your food of satisfying curiosity in a positive sense to truly understand who you are and why you're here, then you're spiritually dying. No?
Well, the other comparison you could use, you used food, but I would think of it as a muscle as well. If you don't exercise that muscle, your brain is a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it gets flabby and it doesn't direct itself toward those questions. So a person still has the capacity to ask the question why, but I think.
But how are you comfortable? Here's my question. How is a person comfortable living life, doing their day-to-day thing without asking or getting a satisfying answer to their hearts on these questions?
I think they're not, and we see the manifestations of that with the drug problem.
Yes,
and you see all these addictive behaviors,
yes,
whether it's pornography or watching tons of TV,
yes,
or playing video games,
or even depression and anxiety.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
They might not have addictions, but they're depressed. They're anxious about everything, and people who are despairing. I mean, how many people do you know who have more or less just given up? They just show up. Do what they have to do, phone it in, as they say, and then they go home and just turn on the TV or surf the web, right? They stop asking what, and Paul, you're hitting on something implicitly. You're saying the first question a child asks is either what or why.
Yes.
Well, why is it that children are asking these questions and adults are not? It's because they've despaired of asking these questions.
That's an important
or
question.
Or finding answers.
Number one, they've despaired, or a more general answer, I think, is that we have turned into a materialistic society. What person who only cares about matter and material goods really cares about what happens after life, or what I'm, you know, or the purpose of my life, or what if God exists, what he expects of me?
I really need to step in here because it's personal for me. I remember this had to be in the 1990s. I remember I was a very material person. I was not a practicing Catholic at this time.
Okay,
and this is something that precipitated or brought about my conversion. And I just remember staring at that computer screen and going, I'm making a lot of money, and is this all there is? You know, there was just a huge, it's like I felt really empty. I felt not satisfied. And thankfully for my conversion, I feel much more satisfied than I did then. And I'm materially not as well off as I was before.
Yeah.
But mentally, I am much more satisfied.
Much more satisfied, much more fulfilled?
Yes, absolutely. I pondering these sorts of things and actually getting a reasonable answer, which is, I love the idea of the Catholic idea of mystery, meaning that you can have some sort of understanding, but you don't have a complete understanding. It's like peeling the onion that never actually gets done. There's always another layer of onion underneath.
And it's just as exciting as the layer that you
it is, yes. It's a continual mystery that really is food for the brain. Yeah.
So life is a mystery in this life, but it continues in the next, doesn't it?
Right.
Hey, guys, you got a phone call.
Okay. I want to finish your statement before
I finished up, really.
Okay. 978-454-4980 is our phone number. You're listening to Beneath the Surface with Paul Morano and my three guests, Kent, John, and Bob. Welcome, mystery person on the phone. Welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Well, let's see. Kent, Bob, and John.
Yeah.
And Paul.
You
Who
got
is it?
It?
Who's on the phone?
I don't know who's on the phone, but you got our names right.
Well, let me start off by saying, you're going to be seriously missed.
Oh, thank you.
Is that Ringo on the phone?
You're going to be seriously missed. And I mean that. I say that from the heart. My wife and I follow you on Facebook. We're in your website all the time, on your webpage all the time, looking and seeing what's next. And we love what you've done. We love the fact that you have that young lady behind the glass.
Oh, she's awesome.
Taking good care of you.
Yeah, and, she must have had good parents.
Yeah, she's the product of fine breeding.
Yeah.
And, you know, she one of her big questions in her life, especially the past few years, has been, why?
Yeah.
And,
good for her.
If you guys look out the window.
Okay.
I'd like to wave to you.
There he is. Who's
that lovely lady with the camera? Give her some credit. I haven't heard her name tonight.
All right, wait a minute.
Paul, this is literally a man on the street segment.
Yeah, this is funny. Let me explain this to our radio audience who can't see a thing. Our caller right now is out on the street in a truck saying hello to us, waving to us from across the street because we are now in a studio that we can see through a window. He mentioned this wonderful woman who's actually videotaping us tonight, who doesn't want to be mentioned, or what? What? That.
You're gonna mention her now. I mean, we've gone too far.
Okay, caller.
Her wonderful name.
There are two women in the studio. We need you to be more.
Yeah, there's one behind this glass and one over here. So, which one are you talking about, caller from the street?
Your lovely wife.
My lovely wife is Jennifer, and I'm so blessed to have her. And it's just I can't tell you how blessed
I am. You certainly are. You certainly are. That's a fact. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, you have no idea.
Can I ask you a question, caller?
I'm not finished gushing about
my
wife.
Okay, go ahead.
Who is holding the video camera right now? Hello, there I am.
Yes.
She's holding the video camera. She's video casting us. And she acts very often as my producer and director for my video podcasts.
And your harshest critic.
And from now on, she's a good critic, but from now on, she's going to have that role as director and producer going forward.
And on top of it all,
yes.
She's gorgeous.
Oh, who can argue with that?
Not a single one of you there. No way.
I want to applaud.
Caller, you know what? She's standing here, but she doesn't have headphones on, so she has no idea what you're saying about her.
When I come in a little while, let me introduce myself. I'm Peter of Cindy's Vinyl Vault.
Yes.
I'm the big daddy. And Cindy, your producer on the other side of the glass, The short one is my number three child, Cindy, and she loves your show, and she's going to miss you too for other reasons. But anyway, to get back to your topic tonight, why?
Yes.
I wake up every morning and I start my daily prayer, my morning prayer, asking God, okay, why am I here today? That's my morning prayer. What is my purpose today? Not what do you want me to do today? Not where am I going today? It's why am I here? That's how I start every day. So it's amazing that your topic is why.
Very cool.
And that's a great way to start the day.
It really is because it gives you it makes you think not what am I supposed to do.
Yeah.
But what's my purpose for the
day? Actually, you bring up a good point because life is more than doing.
Absolutely.
Mainly,
that's it right there.
Mainly, we are a being. We're not a human doing. We're a human being first
that's
and foremost.
Right.
Very good point. Anything else?
No, I just wanted to drop that in and say hi to you all, and you're all going to be seriously missed, especially Kent. he's always been my favorite. I don't know why.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I had to do it. Sorry.
You're making me blush.
I'm sure. Well, I'll have to tell my wife about that.
Yes, you have
okay,
to confess
yeah,
that.
Enjoy the rest of your show. I just wanted to drop in and say hi and wish you all the best in the future, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Okay,
you
bye-bye.
Two more calls.
All right. Well, there's Peter. Thanks, Peter. Always giving us a good word after our Beneath the Surface shows are done. Looks
two
like we have
calls.
Another call. Caller, you're on with Beneath... On Beneath the Surface with Paul, Kent, Bob, and John.
Well, this is a fun song for John, Paul, George, and Ringo, if you ask me.
No, we're not them, but we're close. We can sing like them.
The breakup of the Beatles Beneath the Surface. You've taken us on a magical mystery tour, but you've opened up our minds. And you've asked questions that we should be asking ourselves.
Yeah.
This is your friend, Dave. Kent, I haven't had the pleasure and honor of meeting you in person, but I have had the pleasure, honor, and good times of being in the presence of each of your cohorts there.
That's great.
And, you guys have broken important ground for radio. You've made radio relevant.
Wow. Well, that's
excellent. Thank you for listening.
That's quite a compliment.
Thank you very much.
that was John.
I want to say personally, best of luck in your new ventures.
Thank you.
I had an opportunity to chat with Bob and John on their way up to the studio this evening, and I made a comment. I said, I think what the church militant has to have is a little segment called "And Now We Go Beneath the Surface" on these important topics.
Well, we'll see about that. Dave, thank you. We have another call waiting. Thanks a lot for calling in. Caller number three on Beneath the Surface. Welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Hello, Paul. This is Father Dwight calling you from Sitka, Alaska.
Wow. Father Dwight, who used to live in Lowell and Tewksbury, who now lives in Alaska, is calling from Alaska.
Wow.
That's correct.
Amazing.
That's correct. Yep. From Southeast Alaska. And I just, when I read your Facebook page this morning or this afternoon, I said, oh, I got to give a call if it's possible. And just wanted to give a call. It was great show tonight. It's why is the question. And I always say why? Because we want to get below, beneath the surface. And,
there you go.
I was always happy to do it with especially those pro-life issues that we talked about when I was on the show with you.
I always enjoyed that. Father Dwight has been on our show, what, three or four times?
At least, I think, three or four times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for coming by. And how is Alaska? What's it like over there in one sentence or less?
Well, we're now back into what we are, a temperate rainforest. And Sitka, Alaska is absolutely gorgeous area of the world.
Wow.
Can't complain. It's everything you ever thought about Alaska. And I live on an island, so I can't get off. And so I ask those questions, why?
That's neat. Any idea when you might be back into the mainland?
Hopefully... when God says it's time to go back to the mainland.
All right.
So,
well, we'll see when that is.
So I just wanted to give a quick call and again, God bless you and your guests. You know, your guest hosts there, they're great.
Yep.
And we'll be listening.
All right. Thanks a lot, Father Dwight. Thanks for calling.
And you have one more call.
All right. Wow.
Is this a record?
1, 2, 3, 4 in a row. Welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Hello. Hello, Paul.
Hi. Who's this?
Hello. It's Father Letourneau calling. I just wanted to send up my appreciation for what you've done over the years. I remember when you were on the other show and Bob LeBlanc there talking. I even spoke to you once years ago there. And but I always appreciate especially things pertaining to the faith and, of course, not proper philosophy, bringing that out there because it's so lackluster out there, especially over the normal airways of AM and what have you. So it's good that you were able to do that. And, of course, your pro-life stance and, you know, that beautiful commercial that usually plays, you know, that's very valuable out there.
Yes. Father Letourneau, where are you from?
Well, actually, I'm brought up here in Lowell, but I say Mass in a couple of places in New England, a few places, you know, the old Mass, and, you know, but I'm always around the area here. It's where actually I'm stationed. Wow. So, but I have, met once your other guest, Kent, there at Mutual Friends in Drake at a Christmas party a couple of years ago there. And
I remember.
So, there you go.
Very and, cool. Well, we're honored that you've been a Beneath the Surface listener. We didn't realize. Thank you very much.
I'll look for you there online. But I know you're in the prayers there, and a blessing to all you and the gentleman and Cindy there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, God bless.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Wow.
That's why. Those four calls right there.
That
there
answers the word why.
That answers the question why. And wow. Hopefully they speak for millions of others.
Indeed.
And millions.
978-454-4980 if you want to get in our to Beneath the Surface in the next 4 to 5 minutes.
So here's a question I want to float.
978-454-4980. Yes, Kent.
I once forwarded a link to one of our recorded shows to someone who couldn't get through the whole thing. And I asked her, you know, what was the problem? And she said, it's not really my thing.
Okay.
So what about that? People, here's someone who has an opportunity to sort of delve into this stuff and just it's cold, it's flat, it's nothing after about 20 minutes gives up.
Right. And I have friends that have told me that.
Yeah.
It's like, first of all, one of them says, I don't know what the heck you're talking about most of your shows. And others, I'm sure, would rather, you know, watch Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
They, you know, much rather watch that. Bob, how would you respond to Kent's question?
How would I respond to that?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
What's going on? Because if we all have this deep, as children, we start out asking those questions. And if this is really part of what it means to be human.
And the most important part.
The most important part. Yet, when people finally encounter it, are they just so dulled and calloused that
I think I can identify with that. You know, I'm also a Three Stooges fan. And
who isn't?
You know, but there's this thing where you develop this kind of, you need this hit of excitement or thrill or something like that. And when you're just talking about these abstract sort of things, questions, you know, why these things happen, you hit for some people this kind of boring, you know. Yeah. It's.
I understand.
It just sounds like.
But Kent is asking, why do you hit boring? Why do they feel that way?
Well, I think I addressed it earlier. You get these kind of, you want to get these hits.
I know, but often are these hits simply substitutes for a deeper spiritual experience?
I think so. I think so. I think when, for me, when it was quiet time that got me thinking about the questions of why. We talked about this earlier. It was the quiet when I finally had to confront myself and wonder about things. Why?
So in other words, if people who haven't really asked these questions in a long time want to begin, they first need to shut the television off.
Yes.
Shut the computer off. Shut the radio off. Maybe even dim the lights and sit there with themselves and God. And then what?
tune into Beneath the Surface.
Don't tune into Beneath the Surface. John, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I would say it doesn't necessarily need to be at home. You can just take a walk out in nature.
Absolutely.
Yes. Basically, doing things that don't require the outside stimulus, so to speak, as far as manufactured. And actually, as Kent was talking about before, I was actually thinking this is very analogous to people who eat junk food their whole life versus those who at some point realize that food that's good for you isn't just boring. Because when I used to eat junk food all the time, I'm thinking, oh, salads are boring, this is boring. Then you actually start getting into it and you realize, wow, this stuff is fantastic. And if I actually consume enough of the good stuff, I'm actually healthier. I'm more robust.
More alive and happy.
Absolutely.
I want to add something, Paul.
Yeah.
One thing that has proved very valuable for me personally has been prayer.
And I just want to add to that, since the music is on, the church recommends prayer and fasting. Two things, lots of food and lots of noise that get in your way, get rid of them. To diminish them, eliminate a lot of that, and then that opens up your mind and your soul to bigger and better things.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, guys. It's been fun to do it in the studio at WCAP. Kent Niebuhr.
Hi.
John Tudorus.
Bobby Dudley.
Bob LeBlanc.
Hey.
And the wonderful Jennifer, who's doing our video Woo-hoo! Tonight. Thank Woo-hoo! You, Cindy. Peter, have a great show. Listen, don't forget to listen to Cindy's Vinyl Vault after this, and listen to Beneath the Surface throughout the internet. If you want to know all of the avenues, listen to the beginning of the show again. I told you them all.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.